We certainly are happy to have everyone here today. Got some visitors, and we certainly want to make you feel welcome and hope that you'll come back anytime that you can. Got some this morning that I think are here for their very first time. And we certainly want to invite you to come back and hope that you feel welcome here worshiping us with us today. Do have a lot of sick that are not here. Numbers down a little bit, but we're hopeful that they will get improved and be back with us soon. I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about advantage. We don't think maybe too much about the word most of the time. When advantage is a non-spoken theme. We want advantage in life, but we don't necessarily say that we want advantage. But most of the time we want to have an advantage. We might remember from the Bible example, a little short fellow named Zacchaeus, and the Bible says that he watched to see which way Jesus was going, and he ran ahead of everybody else and climbed up in the sycamore tree. Why? Because he wanted an advantage. He was a little short guy, couldn't see over everybody else. He wanted to see Jesus, and that's the reason he climbed the sycamore tree, is to have an advantage. And we use a phrase sometimes that says that somebody takes advantage of somebody else, and that's a bad thing. When we see that phrase, that's negative. We don't have any regard or respect for somebody that takes advantage of somebody else because it's a bad thing. But I want to say to you this morning that all the time that we use the word advantage is not necessarily a bad thing. Advantage can be a good thing. For example, we as Christians, we have an advantage over sinners. And that advantage is that he has promised us that he will forgive our sins. He hadn't promised that to sinners. So Christians have an advantage. Let me give you a few verses here that Paul wrote to the Romans. Brett read this morning from the 6th chapter of Romans, and I'm going to read from the 3rd chapter. And after having discussed Jews as compared to Gentiles, he starts in his 3rd chapter by saying, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" Then he goes on to say, "Much every way, chiefly because that unto them," that is the Jews, "were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And he goes on, as he does this, on over into the reading that Brett gave us this morning. The Jews did have an advantage. At that time, because this was the transition period between the law of Moses and Christianity, and the Jews already knew who God was. They already had the advantage of all the prophecies. They had the advantage of knowing what God required morally. Gentiles didn't have any of those things. Now, Gentiles have become Christianized, if I can use that word. And they got a lot of catching up to do and finding out who God is and what God wants. So they had an advantage. But once they had become Christians, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, their sins would be forgiven because they were obedient to the Word. And I want to talk about that in advantage this morning. Everybody wants to have an advantage. I believe that. I think it's kind of built into us, and it's in the way that we handle it. For example, why do people park in handicapped places? Now, if you don't have a handicap sticker for your car and, you know, got it hanging on the rearview mirror, why is it that people pulls in a handicapped place when they really shouldn't? Advantage. That's the reason. You don't have to walk so far. Whoever saw a handicapped place in the back of the parking lot? Wouldn't be any point in putting one back there, would there? So it's always up front. One of the things that really amazed me, because this is so much
ingrained in our system today that you go to places and they got four parking places, and two of them is for handicapped. I thought, did they really have that many handicapped people to shop here? Half the people that come here are handicapped. And I don't believe that. And you know what I'll do every once in a while? I'll take care of you someplace, and she'll say, let me run in here. That runs in there. It used to run in something longer than that. But I'll say, well, I'll wait right here. And I might pull in one of those places. I don't have a parking, one of those stairs. But I'll pull in there and I'm watching over my shoulder the whole time, make sure somebody don't come get me a ticket. And I keep watching up there too to see when she's coming out, because she wasn't going to be in there for a minute. Talking to me. And then I'll come out. But every once in a while, I'll see somebody pull in there and get out and go on in. And maybe I don't stay in there long. And I know that they're doing it for revenge. I say a lot of things. You know, that's why people walk the line. That's why I do it. You got a long line of people from here to that front door, and there'll be somebody in Maryland that'll come up and start talking to somebody else and deal with me. That happened to me at the courthouse the other day. I went to get a truck license. She's going to do that in March. We can do it in April because I was a week late. But I was standing there and I was talking to somebody else, and we were almost back to the sheriff's office. That's how long the line was to get in there and get your license plate. And somebody, he comes in, front door, and he stops to talk to somebody else. He got his license before I did because he bucked the line. He had an advantage, you see. And that's what I call taking advantage. And that don't ever suit me too good. let me give you the rose blossom of advantages. Now, as a farmer, people can't stand to drive behind the equipment. Can't stand it. See, a tractor will only go about 15. You know what I'm talking about. It's fine, Barry. You know exactly what I'm talking about. People can't stand to drive behind a tractor with a piece of equipment. They'll do whatever they got to do because they're at a disadvantage. That's what it's about. I want to see us. We got a cattle trailer. We can take cattle to the market. Nobody wants to drive behind a cattle trailer. You ever notice that, guys? Barry, you can relate to that, can't you? You see some little old gray-headed woman, and she never drives more than 45 in her life to put behind a cattle trailer. She'll do 70 if she has to, and she's going to get it in front of you. Because she's at a disadvantage if she's behind. I see a lot of things in life that are like that. Now I say sometimes there is an advantage. I would never say to one of our young people, don't go get an education, because if you do, you'll have an advantage over those that don't have an education. And they will. They will. But I encourage our young people to climb that sycamore tree. Let them get an advantage. That's what's about. If you want to go forward, so it's in the way that you do it. That's the advantage of that. Somebody might ask, well, why don't God just forgive everybody's sin? We all sin. Now, you know what you read there a while ago, Brett? We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. We all need forgiveness. Why don't God just forgive everybody's sins? Sinners, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Jew, whether you're atheist, or just let God forgive everybody's sins and be done with it. Well, that's not the way God said He wanted. He wants all of us to be His children, and He wants to forgive all of us the sin. But those who are not His children, God doesn't owe them anything. I don't think that God owes us as Christians to forgive our sins, but He said He'd do it anyway. We have an advantage as being Christians. God said, I promise you I'll forgive your sin. Now, and we want to talk about some of these things this morning. Number one, I put on the board. Sinners sin willfully. I can just hear the first question coming. Are you saying Christians? No. When we sin, don't we all sin willfully? Now, I want to sort of tweak this a little bit and put it into perspective that the Bible wants us to understand.
We all sin, but we don't sin willfully in this sense. That we don't, when we do sin as Christians, we don't really aim to sin. We don't set out to sin. That's what I mean. We don't live in sin. We have rejected a life of sin, and we say to God, God, I want to live a life that is not a sinful life. But once in a while we slip. Sometimes we do that anyway. But sinners don't care. Their sins are not going to be forgiven anyway, and so they don't really care. That's a lifestyle. There are some people today that are living a sinful lifestyle, and they think that's okay. And a lot of people even think that God is going to forgive them for it, and God's not. Not unless they become obedient to His Word. Only then will that happen. Christians don't live in sin. Sinners do. Sinners live in sin. Christians don't. God forgives their sin. They continue to repent. They continue to try to do better. They continue to try to improve their lives and live like God wants them to live. Once they learn what God wants them to do. And so there's the difference. So Christians have the advantage over sinners. And then another one is that this seems harsh to say, but sinners love sin. That's why they live in sin. That's why it doesn't make any difference to a lot of people whether God forgives them of their sin or not. Ask a lot of people, would you like to have your sins forgiven? And it might shock you to learn a lot of people says, I don't care if we're forgiven or not. Don't make any difference. As a Christian, that seems like such an odd answer to me. But a lot of people live in it. They don't do anything about it. They love to sin. That's what they want to do. They do the same sinful things over and over and over again with never giving it a thought. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe I oughtn't to do this just from a moral viewpoint. They continue to live in sin. And so the reason that they do that is because they love it. It may not be what God wants, but who cares what God wants? I like sin, and I'm going to live in sin. Not only do they sin willfully, but they love being in sin and in that way. They're not sorry for sin, for having done that. Christians have the advantage in that if we do sin, and sometimes we do sin, we're sorry we did it, or we wouldn't go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me of that sin. I'm going to try not to do that again. There's the basic difference. Sinners have no advantage in that they give in to sin. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't give in to sin too sometimes. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we give in. Bible says that we're going to be tempted. Now, here's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that there's no temptation. There's not a temptation out there that God doesn't make a way of escape for us. Sometimes we look for that way of escape. We find that way of escape and we avoid sin by having done it. Sometimes we just don't look very hard for the way of escape. Sometimes the door is closed and we don't bother to open it in order to escape sin. Sometimes we do give in to sin. But Christians try to conquer sin. Now, the world doesn't have to. Sinners don't have to conquer sin because it's not on their agenda anyways. Christians are not living God-like or Christian-like, and so why bother with it? Now, that's their lifestyle. That's what they do. So they continue to give in to sin, and they don't sometimes, after so long a time, the Bible says that their hearts become seared like with a hot iron. There's no feeling there anymore. But as Christians, we don't give in to sin. We don't give up our lives to sin because we know it's wrong. Now, we may sin, but we don't give up to sin. We don't give our lives up to sin. Point number four, I'll put this one on the board right here. Because a lot of people misunderstand it. Sinners don't have any way of getting rid of sin. Somebody says, is that really right? There's no way to get rid of it? It's just there. Under the law of Moses, They had an annual day, and imagine this. It's hard for us to understand it because we're Christians. We never lived in that age. But they had an annual day to remember sin. Now, when I sin, not only do I want to forget it, not only do I want God to forget it, but if anybody else knows about it, I want them to forget it too. That's the way I feel about sin. I don't want anybody else involved in it. I wouldn't, if I didn't have to, I wouldn't admit to you my sin. That's what we see in all these cover-ups up in Washington, D.C. That always just, I despise that, but I despise it in myself if I do that. We don't want anybody else to know about it. But in that sin that we're speaking of right here, though, those sins are not forgiven. At our house, like most of you, I suppose, maybe all of them, we got a garbage can. And we leave the garbage can parked on the patio in its convenient place. Beverly calls it a trash can. It ain't a trash can, it's a garbage can. And the garbage truck comes. Trash truck comes, the garbage truck comes. And when it comes, it stinks. Huge smoke before it gets down there in the house. And they pick it up and they take it not to the trash dump, but to the garbage dump. See, I was talking about it, but she ain't here today. We've been through this. And if you've ever been to one, to a garbage dump, you'll know it before you get there. Because you've smelled it before you get there. And it's not a very pretty place. And all the garbage out of all the households that they picked up, I'm going to make sure you grab it because I want you to get the point. What's in there? Well, in our house, it's dirty diapers. That goes in the garbage. And there's leftover food that's spoiled. There's all kinds of papers. I guess there's some trash in there. But it's garbage. And the garbage truck comes and he takes it to the garbage dump. It's a landfill. What some people prefer to call it. But it's not just my household, it's yours and his and hers and it's everybody else. And it's not a pretty place. Nobody ever goes there. It's a tourist attraction. Nobody really wants to be there. You know, that's the way it is with sinners' sins. All the sins that you committed, they just keep piling up. They never go away. Even sins that you committed years ago are still there because they have not been forgiven. Now, Christians have got an advantage in. They say, God, make it go away. God says, okay, I love you. And you're my child, and I'm going to make it go away. So all the garbage that we pile in front of God, it never gets seen, it never gets smelled, it never gets handled. Because God just erases it. God does away with it. And that's an advantage as a Christian. God over a sinner. Now, sinners may think that that's happening, but it's not. It's still there. And those Jews that remembered those sins annually, it didn't anything happen to them. It just got shoved up to the next year. And then pushed forward. And all the new ones that they made, all the new sins that they made, they were there. Just like a garbage dump or a landfill. It was still there. We're looking for an advantage. As Christians, we've got an advantage. God forgives us. There's no garbage dump there. There's no sin dump with God. How much better that is than that old stinking, smelling, ugly stuff that we've done all of our lives piled up in front of us for the whole world to see. They live in guilt. You and I, as Christians, if you're here this morning, you're a Christian. You do not have to live in guilt over your sins. Now, I'm ready to tell you this morning that I have committed sins that I remember that I still feel guilty for. Still do? I knew I should not have committed that sin. I did it anyway. And I still got guilt. I fully believe that God has forgiven me. I have asked God to forgive me for that. And God has hid it.
but I still know I did. Now it may be that you're here this morning as a sinner. And what I'm telling you is, you may have sins that you don't even feel guilty for. You don't even feel guilty. But most of the sins, if your conscience has been properly trained according to the Word of the Bible, you still have guilty. The sins that I've committed, that even though I have guilt for, God does not hold that guilt against me. See? I don't have to feel guilty for it. And I know that there are sins that I have committed. I've forgotten about them now. God's forgotten about them. God has forgiven me for them. And I don't have to feel. God does not want me to be loaded down with guilt as His child. Doesn't want me to be. He promises that He'll forgive it. He said, you don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. I have erased that. It's not there. There's no dump. There's no garbage dump. There's no landfill. It's just beauty. Sinners can't say that. I have the advantage for being a Christian because God takes care of it and it's all out of the way. Sinners can't say that. They have no guilt.
Number six that I made in this little list is that sinners have no promise. I've got an advantage because I'm a Christian. I've got the advantage that God tells me, I promise that if you live according to my words, we already know there's no sin in heaven, that I'll forgive your sins and you've got the promise of eternal life. Sinners, you don't have that. You don't have the promise of eternal life. The only people that God is going to save are people whose sins He has forgiven. He's not going to come to the garbage dump and fish sinners out of the garbage dump and take them to heaven. It ain't going to happen. It is not going to happen. They still stink and they're still ugly and God don't want them. Now God will save sinners if they turn to Him and if they're obedient to His word and if they live their life as God wants them to do. God will forgive them and they have a promise. But until they do this, they do not have the promise of eternal life. And that's an advantage that we have as Christians. I have an advantage as a Christian over a sinner in... Sinners have no advocate. They got no lawyer. They got nobody to stand up for them. And John said, we've recently studied this in our lesson on Sunday morning. John said, my little children, sin not, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. An advocate's nothing more than a lawyer. And if you sinned, you need a lawyer. If you commit a crime and there are consequences for crime, best thing you can do is get a lawyer. And the better lawyer you can get, the better off your case is going to be. Now we all recognize that. Get the best lawyer you can afford. Get one that you know's got a good history of getting people off. That's what it is. We've got an advocate with the Father, and that advocate is Jesus Christ, His Son. If God wouldn't hear Him, who would He hear? Who would God hear if He didn't listen to His own Son? We've got an advocate with five sinners. Don't have that. We have the advantage in that we've got the best lawyer in the universe, and that advocate, that lawyer, is Jesus Christ, His Son. That's an advantage. We need all the advantage that we can get with God. Number eight that I put on the board this morning is we've got an advantage, and where sinners have no advantage in that they don't have God's grace. We do. Somebody said, I thought God's grace was universal. God's grace is everywhere. Yeah, well, it is, but you got to take it. You got to accept it. It's got to be made useful. It's got to be put in a useful form to you. God's grace is out there. God's grace is actually at the dump. But you've got to accept it and you've got to take hold of it and you've got to put it to use in your life. And just because it's out there, that doesn't mean that you're using it. Now, if we as Christians, we have the advantage of having God's grace because God's grace freely comes unto each one of us. And that's important to all of us. We cannot be saved without God's grace. Nobody can. Sinners can be saved with God's grace, but they have to be obedient to His Word. That's how the grace comes into effect. Just simply relying on God's grace to save us without being obedient is futile. Sinners have no advantage when it comes to God's grace. Not until they accept it, not until they use it. Romans 8:24 says that we're saved by hope. Well, that word hope is really misunderstood by a lot of people. If I ask you this morning, are you going to heaven? Everybody would say, I hope so. That's not the kind of hope that the Bible's talking about. The hope that the Bible's talking about is an expectation. It is an expectation of heaven. The world has no hope. I have hope. I have the expectation of heaven because I'm Christian. And that's an advantage that sinners don't have. They have no hope of heaven in their present situation. That's an advantage that they don't have, that I have. That all of us as Christians that we have. Sinners have no advantage in having a hope of eternal life until they turn their life around, until they become children of God. And last of all, they have no peace. Now, you might say, well, I know people that seem to be leading pretty peaceful lives. But the peace is the peace that Paul was talking to the Philippians about, in having the peace that passes all understanding. We can have peace in our hearts knowing that God has told us what His requirements are and that we're following His requirements, and if we're doing what God says for us to do, we have the hope of eternal life, but we have peace in our hearts knowing that. Some of the most miserable people that I know today that have no peace in their hearts are those who simply will not accept God's word and become obedient to Him. Advantage. How important it is that we understand advantage. Some years ago, when my father was still living, we were at the stockyard one day. And they ran a pretty good looking old cow through there. And I thought, well, I might just feed on her. And she was a good looking cow, but boy, she had horns about that long. And Daddy said, I wouldn't ever walk across my farm. Because when you've got one cow that's got horns and all the rest of them don't have horns, you know what happens? She's got the advantage. But I bought her, and I brought her home, and I thought, well, them horns can be cut off, and then she'll still be a good cow. That just make her better. And so I turned her out, the first thing she did was heading for the hay man. And guess what happened? She went to using them horns, and she made herself an advantage, and she made everybody else around that hay man get away. And it made me mad. And I took in after her and I run her off, but as soon as I came back to the house, guess what she did? She had the advantage. So one day I had the veterinary out there to do something else, and I said, while you're here, I got a little job for you. And we got her in there in the head catcher, and we cut them horns off. And she had had those horns for so long that when I turned her out, she didn't know it's gone. And she hated it for the hay ring. In this case, it happened to be a feeding trough. And she stuck that head out there like she was going to butt everybody else and run them off. And she figured out she didn't have no horns. Guess what happened to her? Her head was sore. And everybody else that didn't have horns, their head wasn't sore. And they had the advantage. And they ran her away. Advantage. Not anything wrong with advantage if it's used properly. But it's when it's used improperly. When we take advantage of other people. Right now, I believe that society is taking advantage of the good nature of Christianity. I believe that. And I hate to say that. I think that we're going to have to be like these other gals that Christians, we're going to have to start pushing back. It's not going to be long because we're not going to have any rights. We're not going to have any advantage. I think that as Christians, we need to stand up and tell society, hey, you're not going to do that.
You ain't pushing me away from the hay rack. Christians have got to have, they've got to take advantage of God. What we ought not to be taking advantage of in society as well. I hope some of these things that we're talking about this morning mean something to you. If you're here this morning and you're a sinner, you have no advantage. God's people have the advantage. If you're here this morning, would you like to put that advantage? Is there something we can do to help you? Well, I was